Did God reject the Jewish nation? This is Carl Kusar from Walla Walla University School of Theology. Welcome to Good Word, our weekly radio program that explores biblical and theological topics that are central to our Christian faith. Today we continue in our study of Paul's letter to the Romans by looking at chapters 10 and 11 of Romans. And to help us do that, I have my two colleagues with me again, Dr. Bruce Johansson, Dr. Stravko Stefanovic, both professors of biblical studies here at the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. Gentlemen, thank you again for making time for us and joining us for this conversation.
Nice to be here again.
Well, we come today to Romans chapter 10 and 11, which really continue on with what we were discussing last week. In fact, Paul picks up at the beginning of chapter 10 in a very similar way that he started chapter 9, expressing his heart's desire and prayer for the salvation of his fellow Jews. Now, he makes an interesting comment here at the beginning. He says that, "I bear them witness that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." So, what's the problem? Isn't zeal a good thing? I think zeal we'd like to have. So, what's so bad about zeal without knowledge?
Noise without music?
Would it be any better to say then they had...
Music without noise? Or, I guess you couldn't have that either.
Knowledge with no zeal?
Yeah, that would be pretty dry.
Yeah.
Apparently, faced with the challenge of Christianity, the Jewish individuals and groups that did not accept Jesus as the Messiah, they became hyperactive to counteract the work, tireless work of the Apostle Paul and so on. So what kind of knowledge are we talking about here? Yes. I think it might be useful to refer to the passage when Christ said in John 17, "And this is the eternal life, that they know you, the only God, and the one whom you have sent, Jesus Christ." Yes. So a combination of the two is what was needed.
Yeah. You know, go ahead.
It's the vision of Jesus, the picture of God that he gives and that he lives out here on earth. That is based on faith and not by doing. And that directly precedes this passage here at the end of verse 9. So it would be a knowledge of it. And, you know, I think there must have been many Jews who had pure hearts, who loved God, who didn't go on dry works.
It had to be, of course.
Yeah, there had to be.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, because I think it's easy for us to take these as kind of blanket statements for all of Judaism.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, and almost to say, well, this clearly has no application to us today.
Yeah.
But I think it does, because I think it's easy for us as Christians to get caught up with zeal also without knowledge. And to get so involved in the things that we do that we perhaps even lose the reason why we do the things that we do.
Yes.
By the way, the Old Testament prophets lamented the same fact that people were very busy doing all kinds of religious rituals, and yet Hosea still complained, and there is no knowledge of God in the land. So it is possible to be religious and somehow miss that component, the intimate knowledge of God.
Oh, yes.
And no doubt Paul saw that as a Jewish rabbi drawing on that background. But Paul does come to several interesting statements in these two chapters I'd like your thoughts on. Chapter 10, verse 4, he says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Now, this verse has been understood to imply that Paul says the law has been done away with. So here we go once again to the same issue. This seems pretty clear. The law, Christ is the end of the law. So what does he mean if the law is not done away with?
There's two things you have to look at, I think, in this passage. What does end mean? It can mean goal, but it can mean cessation. That's one possibility that's there. The other one is, in the Greek, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Okay.
So but, is it, you're saying it's a specific description of the law, not the law in general.
For establishing righteousness, the law no longer is the basis.
Because
we can't do it.
Because of God's righteousness, which is given to us as a gift for us.
As a gift, yeah. I think that's what... In that case, it would be the end of the law. The law as a means for attaining righteousness, as the vehicle for righteousness for us, by our works. Christ ends.
Interesting, because I think perhaps even we could say that there's an element of truth in both of them and how you define them.
Yeah.
I like how Paul ends chapter 9 with this idea of pursuing and stumbling, which mm-hmm. seems to be, once again, mm-hmm. this metaphor of a race.
Yeah.
And so end as goal would also make sense.
It makes also sense, yes.
He's the goal. Christ is the goal of the law. The law is this line that
for
leads us to Christ. For righteousness.
Yes. So you could go either way.
Yes.
And who knows, there may be a double entendre,
yes, yes,
you know, a double
yes.
meaning here.
And Paul may have saw that too, and it seems to me that both of those yeah. make sense in mm-hmm. light of the whole picture. Mm-hmm. But we want to isolate that and say, yeah. well, we yeah. end it here, yeah. and that means that the law is invalid today. I think it does injustice.
Yeah. Okay, absolutely.
Yeah.
But as a means for establishing our righteousness, it has ended, because Christ is yes. the one who establishes yes. our right. So I think both yes. readings.
And once again, I think we'd say that the law never was meant to establish righteousness
no,
for us,
no.
but it had been misused by
exactly.
people, and like it's
yeah.
misused by us
yes.
today
mm-hmm.
as well.
It's
mm-hmm.
interesting that this verse mentions both words here, Christ and the Torah or the law. And some books are being written nowadays that are available and that talk about religious communities losing some of these important components, mm-hmm. like Christianity. In the name of Christ, kind of distancing itself from the Word of God, from the Old Testament, from the law of God, if you would like, and so mm-hmm. on. And then you may have other religious communities where the Torah becomes everything and there's no room for Christ. So, missiologically speaking, how do we put these two together? And in one particular book by Jacques Ducan, he suggests that the eschatological remnant at the time of the end kind of gets these components and keeps them together.
Yes.
There is a tension because some neglect yes. one at the expense of the other and
yes.
so on.
Yes.
But can we bring these components together? Because after all, the book of Revelation talks about the end-time remnant of God who are serious about God's words mm. and they have the faith of Jesus. Mm. So the yeah. two are brought together.
Yeah. Mm. I like that.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul goes here on in chapter 10 to talk about the message of salvation being for all people. And here he's talking about, he's ultimately answering the question of, did Jews have a chance to hear? And he says, yes, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Faith comes by hearing.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel has to be preached, which implies zeal must be there somewhat.
yeah. Paul didn't lack in zeal.
No, he did not. So what responsibility do Christians have in spreading the gospel? Because
yes.
you know, Paul here yes. seems to imply that you know, it's spreading, but so zeal must be important, at least in this regard.
I think so. There has to be.
Yeah.
If you take religion seriously, there has to be something like zeal somewhere.
And then in this case, he says, faith comes by hearing. Does this tell us at all about what faith is? I mean, we've talked about justification, mm-hmm. and all this hinges on this one concept, is justification by faith. Mm-hmm. So what would we tell our listeners? What is faith? I mean, that seems to me that's where the rubber meets the road. You have to have faith. So can I buy that? Do I get it by going to church? What do these verses here help us understand what faith is?
I think the emphasis, faith has this believing that and believing in.
Hmm.
Believing in is a relational thing. I think that the emphasis was on that earlier. I do think believing that has to have content.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've lived in India a large portion of my life. And I know people out there who are deeply committed to God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They love God. They want to serve Him. They're devoted to Him. But the gospel, the picture that Jesus gives of God, is one that adds the component of assurance.
Mm.
This is what God has done for you. It was acted out in history. Therefore, you know how God loves you. You don't just state, you know,
right.
God loves, or this particular right. God loves me. How do I know? Well, they say so.
And it seems that the yeah. payoff for that is the yeah. fact that understanding who the true God is
yeah.
can help them going through the difficult times in life that all of us will go through. Because
yeah.
when bad things happen, you immediately question God.
Yes.
If your picture of God is skewed, yes. then it can also yeah. destroy your faith experience.
So, as missiologically, I'm not bringing yeah. God to these people.
Mm-hmm.
They already have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm bringing is the assurance of salvation, mm-hmm. of what God mm-hmm. has done. for us in Jesus Christ. And hopefully,
no,
you know,
I like that.
They will.
I like the idea too. He says, faith comes by hearing, which tells me that faith is always a response.
Yeah.
So God takes the initiative, and we only respond. Faith is not us saying, it's not us seeking God, to go back to a comment we made a few weeks ago, but it's God seeking us and us responding.
Yeah.
Well, no doubt we have some tough questions here to continue on with, and our time is running out. So let's go to probably the most challenging one here, and that is the end of Romans chapter 11, where Paul talks about the fullness of the Gentiles coming in. Dr. Osvanovich, this sounds like an Old Testament question. How many Gentiles must come in before the nation of Israel, all the nation of Israel, can be saved? Is that the 144,000? What's this number? I want to know. No, I'm sure our listeners do as well.
Well, the pictures that are used in the Old Testament are, I think that we remember them when God wanted to show Abraham how many his descendants will be. Those who are faithful to God, who trust God, then God took him outside and showed him the starry sky. And also he pointed to the sand on the seashore. That's how many believers. So we are not talking here about a quantitative concept, but qualitative. God's eternal desire, what Paul calls time and again the mystery that God has kept for the end of the age, and that is that Gentiles and Jews join hands together, and through Jesus Christ, they come back to God, and they are in Him.
Mm-hmm. And so all Israel will be saved.
Yeah. So all really means all.
It's very inclusive.
But also all Israel, meaning not just the Jewish nation we're talking about here. We're talking about a quantity, an experience with God, not just an ethnicity.
Galatians makes it very clear that those who have faith are Abraham's children. Chapter 3. They're Abraham's children.
So there's a bigger picture than all of us perhaps we see from time to time.
Yes.
But it's easy, I think, for us to get discouraged. Paul mentions here the story of Elijah as well, who said, Lord, I'm the only one left.
Yeah.
There were just a few more, I think, weren't there?
I think so. He got the message that there were a few more.
Yeah, I think there's a lesson for us, too, to be encouraged. It's easy for us only to see from the outside and to see problems and limitations, but God is working behind the scenes to do things that are tremendous, and there are many, as Paul would say, who didn't bow the knee to Baal.
I think there's a lesson for us here, too. We tend to also look not beyond our borders as a denomination, and we sort of think that we are it. God has, Jesus says, many sheep have I, not of this fold.
Thanks, great.
One for us too.
Gentlemen, we've run out of time once again. Thank you once again for your insightful comments, and also to Michael White, who's been our technical assistant again, and to you, our listeners of Good Word. Thank you once again. This is Carl Cosart for Good Word.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.